Good evening, Connect Point. God bless you. A little toasty in the room here today. The air conditioner did its annual freeze over, so it's not blowing as much cool air as I would appreciate on a beautiful hot day like this. At least it chose a hot day to do that for us. So I probably won't be preaching as long as normal, so everybody's thankful for that, I'm sure. But if you have your Bibles, let's just get into God's Word here. Actually, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Verse number 13 is where we'll begin reading. Scripture says, "And behold, two of them," this is after Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, and we're in the middle of the process of people realizing that. And here's a couple of individuals who are leaving Jerusalem, going to their village, and behold, two of them went that same day, the third day, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And it's in the Greek word there, it's he joined with them, but they didn't even notice. They're so into the conversation they were having with each other that here's a man walking with them. They don't even really recognize somebody has joined them. Their eyes were holding that they should not know him, didn't recognize who he was. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another?" King James Version drops the ball here on the translation because it's after that question. The King James Version says, "as you walk and are sad." But in every other version and in the literal Greek, they stopped moving, stood still, and looked sad. So his question to them, "what manner of communications are these that you have one to another?" stop them in their tracks and change their countenance to sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests had and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them," it says, "O fools," in the King James Version. He's not calling them fools like we would think that word is used. But he's talking to their lack of understanding. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets." You know, turn your Bibles to the book of Judges. I'm just not feeling that. Luke chapter 24. Maybe some other point in time. Book of Judges, chapter 6. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, cut down the grove that is by it, build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. He could not do it by day. He did it by night. And when the men of the city arose in the morning, look how they look. Behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down. Second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. They said one to another, who hath done this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, whose altar that was, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal. He hath cut down the grove that was by it. Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Are you going to fight for him? You're going to save him? You're going to fight his battles? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, talking about Baal, let him plead or fight or battle for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day, he called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Go ahead and be seated. I enjoy this passage of Scripture. I enjoy reading it. I enjoy finding what God is speaking to an individual who is literally, as far as we know, Gideon, having his first ever conversation with God Almighty. They have been, according to the beginning of the chapter, they have been 7 long years being robbed because of their idolatry. The Lord has given them to the hand of the Midianites. 7 years. Scripture said they don't have any kind of trouble until it's harvest time. And after all the back-breaking labor and the sowing of seed and everything that farmers go through, here comes the Midianites. Then the Amalekites come with them. The children of the east come with them as well. And they devour the harvest of Israel. 7 years of no harvest. Because of their idolatry. And those 7 years of destruction, demoralization, requires them to change their literal dwelling places. And the Bible said that they make caves their homes, and they move into the mountains whenever the enemy comes. And so not only do they abandon their fields, they abandon their houses. But more than that, they abandon their inheritance, because this land was given to them by the God Almighty, the God of the promised land. So they are not just being defeated. They are not even fighting against the Midianites. There's no battle. There is no swords being drawn. There is no, let's get an army together and war against these people. 7 years straight. 7 years of starvation. and 7 years of leaving your promised inheritance that God gave you, moving into caves, living in caves, and hiding away from your adversary. No battles, no fights, 7 years, and 7 years have passed, and the scripture said that here's a man by the name of Gideon who is threshing wheat by a wine press. Interesting that 7 years have gone forth like this. Israel starts to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord answers their cry with a prophet who preaches unto them everything that he had done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, so forth. And then he tells them, but you began to worship idols. But you turned your back on God. That's the message that he gives to the people that have cried out. No, you see, we weren't looking for that. We were not looking for instruction. We were looking for you to destroy our adversary. But you have not obeyed my voice is the last word of that prophet. You've not obeyed my voice. We were hoping that you would show up with a battle plan here. But since you haven't, we're going to go ahead and enter into another year of trying to skate by with just enough food, beating wheat by a wine press and trying to hide it from the enemy. That's why Gideon is there at that point in time. But God's so great. It's amazing to me how awesome that he is. 7 years of that, the prophetic voice still doesn't work. And yet an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, the angel of the Lord that you read about in the book of Exodus, you read about in the book of Genesis, the angel of the Lord that is literally God incarnated in a picture. It's literally the picture of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. And it's a blessing to God's people. And usually the angel of the Lord shows up to change things and to motivate change and to give a word from God. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's doing it for no reason at all. There's no reason at all why you would show up at this point in time. They've rejected your prophetic word. They're willing to go into another year of losing their harvest. They are going to go ahead and do anything but obey the voice of the Lord. And still he brings an angel to Gideon. That's just amazing to me that God is so grace-filled that he's willing to empower people, and it's backed up upon his mercy. His mercy is everlasting, his loving kindness towards his covenant people. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that fact that God's loving kindness is higher than the heavens. There's no measure to it. There is no, okay, I ran out of it. No, there's no measure to it. That's why Paul said, get into it. Try to find what is the length, breadth, height, depth of his love. You won't ever max it out. You won't ever get to the end of it. His loving kindness is beyond description. Why would he be so amazing that he would show up for no reason? For no reason. But here he is. There's many things. I don't want to say it. I'm going to jump right to the text that I read. Gideon's got an altar. He's named this altar Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord of peace. The only time in scripture so far that that revelation of the Lord has been given, has been given to this man by a word from God, verse 23, that said, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Gideon built an altar unto the name of the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Now, it came to pass the same night. That night. Same night that the angel came, same night that the angel touched the rock and fire comes out of it. The same night that the Lord gives him this word, it's the same night he gets a revelation of Jehovah is peace. The same night, the Bible tells us the word of the Lord came unto him. Take your father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. Throw down the altar of Baal. Cut down the grove. It's going to be firewood. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God. Notice this. Upon the top of this stronghold. What's underneath that altar? What's being hidden by that grove? A stronghold. You want to know why 7 years you've lost everything that you planted and were hoping for? Because what lies underneath is a stronghold, not a God. There is no Baal. He does not exist. There is no real God that you're calling out, Asherah. She doesn't exist. Any other God that you're using in this point in time for worship, they don't exist. But what lies underneath that, it's a stronghold. It's a spiritual thing here. There is a presence. It's not God's presence, but you can be guaranteed that underneath those altars, there's a stronghold. But he says, you're gonna knock down that altar. You're gonna cut down the grove. It's your father's, by the way. It's your father's altar. It's your father's grove. That's saying something. It's your father's altar. It's your father's grove. And I want you to take your father's bullock and you're gonna build an altar to me and you're going to sacrifice the bullock on that altar and you're going to have it in an orderly manner. It's going to be rocks. It's going to be the grove wood that you cut down. You cut down the wood to that goddess and you're going to use that as firewood. And then on top of that, you are going to offer up that bullock. And it's an amazing thing that this right here is going to take care of their future. You wouldn't think that it would be that simple. And you wouldn't think that God would be this outstandingly awesome. But he is. He is. And the Bible says that Gideon is instructed, go ahead, get your father's bullock. Now here's what the Bible says about their enemies. It says in chapter 6 and verse number 1 that they, verse number 3, that all those Midianites, Amalekites, children of the east, they would come, they would encamp, they would destroy the increase, they would leave no sustenance, nor sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. They would come with their cattle and their cattle would feed on Israel's future. Like grasshoppers for multitude. They would come over the land and they would destroy everything. Not just the crops, but they would take their animals, their sheep, their ox, and their donkeys, their ass. But here the Bible said, take your father's bullock. This is going to be a sacrifice that is going to atone for 7 years of wrong, for 7 years of idolatry. This will be a sacrifice built on the stronghold. And I want you to know something, my friend, that many, many, many times it's not enough for you to undo altars, to undo things that are literally idolatry in your life. It's not enough for you to get rid of cutting down the grove, crash down that altar. You've got to deal with the stronghold that's underneath. There's a stronghold that must be taken care of. And it's not enough to say the altar's gone and the grove is gone. Now it's time for God. No. It's time for you to understand there are strongholds that must be broken. There are strongholds behind everything that you're addicted to, behind everything that's troubling you, behind everything that you give worship to and reverence to and fear to and all your money to, whatever stealing from God, underneath that's a stronghold, my friend. And the Bible said you got to put an altar to the Lord on top of the stronghold. You need to get the sacrifice, boom, on top of it. Stronghold. Well, how long does it take for a 7-year stronghold to be broken? Bible said, get that bullock. Now, what's amazing to me is that Gideon follows the orders. Adios is the altar, cuts the grove down, builds an altar, not with Baal stones, but with whatever was there. Puts the wood from that grove on top of the rocks. It's going to be in an orderly manner. Everything is right on the head or the top of that stronghold. And it's a stronghold. And he sacrifices the bullock. And everything changes. Now I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed by how fast lives can turn around. I'm amazed that in one evening, as Gideon, under the cover of darkness, is beating out wheat by a wine press, that the Lord shows up and there's a conversation, and it's led to this moment right here on the same night. And on the same night, everything's changing in this family. While everybody's asleep and everybody in the town's asleep, and it's only Gideon and 10 servants who are up here, this everything in the future of Manasseh and Israel is changing right here. And it blows my mind how fast God can turn lives around. How quickly the Lord can deliver people and set people free, and what it looks like when a stronghold's been broken. Let me tell you, my friend, all you really do need is a spiritual stronghold to be shattered by the name of the Almighty God that we serve. And you watch how people are loosed. You watch how your family's different. You watch how authority's back in people's lives when, boom, you shatter a stronghold. Woo! The only thing you're bringing to this party is a bullock. That's it. He's not bringing anything else. Everything else will be done there. Knock it down, cut it down, then build an altar. The only thing he's bringing to this party is a bullock. That's what God asked for. God asked for this bullock. This bullock's going to be sacrificed. And amazingly, 7 years of disobedience atoned for in one night. But what amazes me is 7 years have gone by of theft, of stealing your harvest, of taking your animals, of doing all these things. And the scripture tells us that Gideon is commanded by God, take your father's 7-year-old bullock. Think about that. 7 years of disobedience and a 7-year-old bullock. The moment they begin to disobey 7 years ago, this bullock was born and it's been living for 7 years. It's as old as their disobedience is. And yet the enemy has never taken this one bullock. The enemy has stolen their sheep, their goats, and their donkeys. But for some reason, they've never gotten their hands on this 7-year-old bullock. Let me tell somebody today that there is a sacrifice that covers all the years of your disobedience. And God's good enough to allow no enemy to put his hands on it. God's good enough to allow for there to be a 7-year-old animal that could be offered on the altar, and one sacrifice take care of 7 years of wrong. Let me tell somebody in this room, let me tell somebody under the sound of my voice, there's a sacrifice that covers however long you've been in sin, however long you've been backslidden, however long you've been disobedient. Boom! In one moment, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's a sacrifice the enemy can't touch. That's a sacrifice that covers everything you've done wrong. Boom! In one moment, you're free tonight. Think about that. 7-year-old bullock. I wish I could preach. 7-year-old bullock. 7 years of sin. 7-year-old bullock. You've been there the entire time. And the Lord said, I'm just looking for a sacrifice that's been there long as you've been sinning. As long as you've been disobedient. Take it. It's not even yours, Gideon. Take it up there. And you're going to sacrifice it. My. Sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Who is it that condemns? Paul's given us an illustration. In Romans chapter 8. What do we say to these things? It's not enough just to say if God be for us, who be against us? It's not enough to say that. He keeps on teaching us how to talk. He says, who is he, verse 34, that condemneth? Wait a minute. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who's even at the right hand of God. Who maketh also intercession for us. What Paul says is, here's the right question. Not who condemns. The right question is who's interceding. The right question is who already died for you and has already risen for you and is this moment interceding for you. That's the voice that will change your life. It's not who condemns. That's the wrong identity. It's Jesus Christ. That's who matters. It's the one that's interceding for you. I got a promise for you. There's a sacrifice that covers your sin, that covers the years that the locust has eaten the cake. Worm, caterpillar, palmer worm, boom, restored in one moment by the God who goes all the way back to the beginning and goes all the way to the ending. And he is before all and he's after all. And that sacrifice covers it all. That night, same night Gideon meets God. That's crazy. Same night. Take it. Tell me that doesn't preach a little bit. You got a 7-year-old sacrifice. 7 years of bondage. Tell me that ain't an amazing God. It's got a fatted calf. That's what that is. That's the first fatted calf waiting on the prodigal son to come home. Hey, go get the fatted calf. You know the one we've been waiting for this moment. The one we've been making fat for this moment because we knew he was coming home. That's the first fatty calf right here. 7-year-old bullet. Nobody's taking it. What? That's an amazing miracle. Your second, the second bullet. Nobody cuts a 7-year-old bullet. Somebody in this building. God's enough. God's greater. God's more than everything that you're adding up. It's too long. I've been gone too long. I've been bound too long. I might as well give up hope. It's been too long. Boom. In the name of Jesus Christ, you receive the intercessor. The one that's interceding for you is greater than the one that has no identity. Who? We don't even answer that question. Who is he that condemns? We don't even answer. So he does it. Bible says it was because he feared his father's house. Remember in verse number 15, he said, I'm the least in dignity in my father's house. It says he feared his father's house and the men of the city. He said, my family's the poorest in Manasseh. And so the Bible said it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And it's not what you think. It's not somebody that's afraid to do what God's telling him to do in the light of day. It's the fact he fears his father's household and the men of the city that he does it by night. Why does he do it by night? Because the scripture says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said, take your father's bullock. And so the Bible said because of his feelings for his father's household and for the city. He couldn't do it by day, which would mean you hear God say it at night and you wait. And because he feared his father's household in the city, the scripture said God told him to do it at night, and he did it the same night. Why is that, Gideon? Because I know how I feel about my father's house and about the people of this city. And I know that things tend to change around them if I hear God say, do it now. I'm scared of what will happen if I wait until I see my father's house and the men of this city. Are you intimidated of them, Gideon? No. I'm afraid of how they'll affect me because it's a stronghold. I'm afraid that if I wait to obey, I won't obey at all. I'm afraid. This isn't fear like I'm intimidated of somebody. This is literally fear of knowing I've got a tendency to be affected if I disobey. I've gotten a tendency, if I hear God say, stop right now, and there's grace to stop right now, but I say, give me another week, or give me another month, or let me put it off for a little while, and little while never comes, and the miracle never happens, because there's something about the fear of a stronghold. You can't fight. You cannot positively think your way into and out of a spirit of fear by any kind of concentration, by any kind of natural means, because it's a spirit of fear. There's a stronghold in this place, and everybody's a worshiper of Baal, and this is his father's altar, and this is his father's grove, and this is the city of his father, and here he is by night obeying God immediately, because for 7 years he knows what it is to say, we'll get around to it, I'll get to it someday, and someday never comes, because there's something about people that begin to change your mind. There's something about people that begin to make you feel it's okay. No, hey, we can do both. Hey, we'll stop one of these days. Hey, no. If God said tonight, then tonight is the night. I want to tell somebody today, be afraid of tomorrow if the Lord said do it tonight, because God's given you a window of opportunity that tonight everything can be changed. Everybody can be delivered. Everybody can be transformed. But you've got to do it now. You can't wait. That's what he knows. He knows if I wait, I'm not going to do it. I get affected by people. He's not scared. God said, do it that night. You do it that night. Look at this. It's his father's altar. There's a stronghold. He built an altar unto the Lord on top of that stronghold. And so they wake up, the men of the city. Look at this order. Look at the order that they behold. Behold. The altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down. The second bullock was offered. All three of those don't exist. They've been thrown down, cut down, burned up. And the three things that they look at first don't exist. Behold, the altar of Baal does not exist. The grove does not exist. The second bullock is ashes. And then they notice the altar that was built. So they inquire, who's done this? They don't notice anything about the name of the Lord. Notice that. They notice what's missing. to their gods, but they do not recognize this altar in the name of the Lord. So the men of the city find out it's Gideon, the son of Joash, whose altar it is, by the way. This altar's here because Joash built it. This altar's here because it's on Joash's property. This is his grove altar that his son cut down, his bullock that was offered on that altar his son built. His altar, his grove, his bullock, his son. His stronghold. His son's altar in the name of the Lord. And the men of the city come demanding Gideon that he might be put to death. Look at what happened. When the family stronghold gets torn down. The one who built the altar, who's been keeping the altar there, he said unto all that stood against him. Notice this is one on everybody. Because they want his son. And daddy finally woke up to authority. Because his son broke the stronghold in the family. The obedience wasn't just setting free Gideon to deliver Israel from Midian. It literally, boom, the altar and the stronghold were cast down under the name of the Lord. And so there's a transformation that nobody expected, because they come to Joash expecting that Baal matters more than anything. And they say, give us your son, Gideon. And Joash says to all those against him, they don't know that. They don't know that all of a sudden he's not on their side anymore. Joash probably doesn't even know why he's not on their side anymore. It's called transformation in a family by one son's obedience. You can't ever underestimate what the spiritual stronghold will literally grab a hold of. And when it gets broken, what happens to people who have been bound by it? In one moment, here's the dad I've been looking for. Here's the man of God I've been waiting for. Joash says, it's me against every one of you. And he starts mocking Baal. It's the God he worshipped yesterday. He says, are you going to fight for Baal? Are you going to try to rescue him? He says, if you plead for him, you'll be put to death this morning. That's one guy on all the city. Saying, if you continue with this, I am taking you out. You're talking about somebody who stood up for nothing. Wakes up in the morning to some kind of authority that nobody in the town expected, because they thought he'd hand Gideon over. I don't even know what Gideon expected. He didn't expect this. But you're getting a lesson in what it is to have a spiritual stronghold broken in a family. Whether it's the son that does it or whether it's the dad that does it. It was father's altar, father's bullock, and father's grove all cut down. And he's not defending that. He's defending his boy against the entire city. I want you to know that we've got some fanatics in the church that are getting ready to take a stand against all the nonsense going on in our world. Don't ever discount the fact that you've got authority waiting in your life. It's waiting behind a broken stronghold. That's it. I don't know what gods need to come down in your life, but you'd be amazed the spiritual, radical authority people stand up with without fear at all. Speaking truth to the nonsense. Speaking truth to the adversary's voice. Speaking truth to the condemnation. Making a stand for God. You'd be amazed what kind of a Joash in one night. One night. Oh man, I've seen people do it. I've seen people be weak as could be. I've been that person myself, where there's a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. All you were witness to that. A spirit of fear. Just grabbed a hold, no authority at all. And my twin brother came here and in one night broke it. And in one moment, my wife and I felt it go. And let me tell you, my friend, I know what it's like to come to church weak. And then all of a sudden you stand up and say, I'll take on everybody. I'll speak to any spirit. I'll preach like crazy. I know what it is in one moment. Come on, church. You're not anything but radical. You just don't know it because it's hiding behind a stronghold. And somebody can break it in your family tonight. Somebody can bring a sacrifice onto the Father's altar tonight. The Bible said, he goes, if you are going to back him up, you're all going to die because he ain't going to show up. Remember, you're talking about this guy's God yesterday. He's saying he don't exist. He isn't going to show up. And if you try to fight for him, I'm going to kill you this morning. I'll tell you one thing ain't going to happen. You aren't touching my boy. Nobody expected this. The men of the city. My family is the least in Manasseh. It sure ain't looking like it. It sure ain't looking like you got a poor man standing there by the name of Joash, by the way, Jehovah will give. And he said, matter of fact, let me go ahead and double down on this. I'm going to rename my son because I just been reborn myself. Let me tell you, Gideon wasn't reborn, but the father was reborn. And so he says, let me go ahead and rename my boy. And what I'm going to name my boy is, let Baal fight him. Think about that. For the rest of time, my son is going to mock your God. Let Baal stand up and fight for him that cast his altar down. As long as Gideon's living, every day you're mocking that God. Where is he? He wasn't on the mountain with Elijah, and he isn't right here either. And the gods that we trust in 2020, they aren't there either. And so somewhere along the line, we need people to put the name of Jesus Christ on top of strongholds and watch people stand up out of nowhere. You ought to do it for your preacher. You ought to do it for your Sunday school teacher. You ought to do it for your wife and for your husband. I don't believe that you're meant to be intimidated. I don't believe you're meant to be a silent majority. Come on, church. We need a voice. The devil's afraid of your voice. Where'd this guy come from? He said, if he be a God, let him plead for himself. Because somebody, one, hath cast down his altar. It took one. He stops the entire city from coming at his boy. Talking about somebody for 7 years was letting Midian come and do whatever he wanted to the land and to his family and to his house. And in one moment, you got Jehovah fired up, which is what his name means in one of the meanings, standing up going, oh yeah? What are you talking about? You're talking about somebody just been set free. You're talking about somebody that knows what real authority feels like. Oh, don't worry about building an altar to Baal again in this family. Because I got a taste of the real thing. I've been believing a lie. And there is a glory in me. There's a boldness in me. I will stop everyone in the city from getting their hands on my... That's the power of a stronghold being broken. And the glorious truth is, it's a 7-year-old bull that the Lord would not let die and would not let get stolen for such a time as this. It covers 7 years of sin. Stand with me, please. But you don't wait. You do it now. When he said at night, you go at night. You go at night. That's the way the Lord works. Don't read into this intimidation. Read into this, I know myself. I'm honest with myself. If I think about it, I won't do it. And what you've got to recognize about the Lord is there is, with his word, the eternal stepping in, taking dominion over time. His word does not bow to time. Time bows to his word. And so the moment he speaks that word, the opportune time, whether or not it's the opportune time. What I mean by that is if it's 2 a.m. and he wakes you up, that's the opportune time. It's not going to be according to chronos or 24 hours in a day. It's going to be when the word says it, there's a window open or a door open, there's a passageway open. If I jump on it now, I can get what the word said I can get. If I wait 24 hours, you know the story of the 10 spies that come back and they tell Israel, we can't do it. And Israel says, okay, then we're not going. And 24 hours later, they say, okay, we'll do it. And the Lord said, it's too late. 24 hours. 24 hours, they finally come to themselves, say, okay. After he says, you're all going to die except for Joshua and Caleb. All right, we'll go do it. 24 hours was it. But they missed their door. And it was no longer there. It would never be there. No matter if they tried, they did try, they got beat. They ran for their lives from the Amalekites. Because when there is an opportunity, an opportune time, if it's at night, you go that night. Why? Because I know myself. I know how I feel when I let there be distance between me and the voice of God. And if I don't do it when he says to do it, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be intimidated away from it. I'm going to wait on it, get talked out of it or something. Let me go right now. And when the morning comes, I'm going to have a brand new father I didn't even know I was going to have. I'm going to have a brand new authority in my family. My dad's going to go from being poor to being almighty in one morning. My goodness, what a change. What a change. Close your eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for a sacrifice that covers everything. Anyone here under the sound of my voice has done wrong. So the who is condemning it does not matter. What matters, Lord, is that you're interceding for us right now. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray somebody would step into forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you and be done, because you can be free. Chains can be broken. Stronghold literally taken out by the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands and go ahead and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ over whatever stronghold it is. You know what it is. Or over whatever strongholds in your family. Or whatever stronghold is underneath the worship in your life. Go ahead and speak to the stronghold and watch there be a whole new person who rises up without fear, but in much favor. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be unto you. Thank you, Jesus Christ.